Okay, so we're looking at hope and light. And I want to tell a story of a time at high school. And we had a guy in our year at school. This is a picture of him when he was, I think he was about 9 years old. This is before this happened. So this happened when he was a teenager. His name was David. He came from a place called Blackheath, which is not far from Katoomba, where I grew up. So it's like in the Blue Mountains, New South Wales. So in 1982, he was, I think, 15 years old. So we were in high school together. On the right is the cave entrance. That's Jenolan Caves. And one of the cave entrances is called the Aladdin's Cave. So, you know, it's a fantastic cave area. He wanted to go exploring in the caves. He didn't want to pay the fee, of course. So he decided he would go into the cave. He'd squeeze past the gate and go into the cave by himself. So as he ventured into the cave, he could see quite well. The light was shining in from the entrance and he could see, you know, a fair bit of the way. So he thought he'd go in a bit further. Now he moved in, it began to get a bit darker, and thankfully he had a box of matches with him, of course. So he lit a match and then he moved further into the cave. So he lit the match and he'd be able to see, memorise where he was going, and then move further into the cave. This continued until he realised the matches were running out. But now he's so far into the cave that he can't see anything. In fact, he can't even see the hand in front of his face. He realised he's in the dark, he's lost. He's starting to get afraid. He could not find his way out. So 15 years old, he's deep in a cave system, pitch black, no light at all. He's in total physical darkness. The story became big news on the papers and on TV. There was fears that he was injured or he died. And so rescue teams came from all over the place to try and find this kid that had gone into the caves. Now, I remember as a kid at school, we watched the news. We were genuinely afraid we'd never see him again. So he tried the matches to find his way out. He had a few left. Light the match, head towards what he could see, try and memorise as far as he could the light or the area. Head in that direction and then go as far as you could before you had another match. But eventually the matches run out. Now, I wonder if you ever go in a cave, very often what they'll do is they'll turn out all the lights and they'll give you an example of what it is to be in absolute darkness. So they turn out all the help, everyone turns their torches off, absolute darkness. Literally, you can't see anything in front of your face. Bit spooky. Now, we're used to having darkness at nighttime in a dark room, but when you go into a cave, there's no light whatsoever. You can't see anything and it's silent. So here's David, 15 years old, deep in this cave system. He doesn't know whether he's going to make it out. He loses track of time. The physical darkness becomes an emotional darkness. Eventually he was rescued, and he said to rescuers, "I'd given up all hope of being found." He was discovered missing on the Monday. The search went on all that day, all the next day, and 2 days later, he was finally found. And it seemed like a long time to us. It seemed like an eternity to him in the cave. Now, as kids at school, being the sensitive types that we were, we gave him a nickname. From that time on, he was known as Caveman. Now, unless you have visual impairment of some sort, we take it for granted that we can see, that we have light around us. Light helps us find our way. We make sense of our surroundings by looking for light. But when the light becomes, when it's taken away, it becomes obvious that we can't see, we can't get around. And it's easy to become fearful and to feel lost if the light is taken away, if there's darkness. The very first thing the Bible tells us about is the creation of light. So here's Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So this is the first thing. Light is the first thing that's created. So here's a world that's formless and empty and dark, and God says, "Let there be light," and all of a sudden there is light. The first thing he created. You might have heard this song. Recently they celebrated this moment. It says this: "With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark, and fleshed out the wonder of light. So God, we discover about light. God creates it from scratch. Now, scientists have discovered a lot about light. It's, you know, white light contains all the colours of the rainbow, literally all the colours of the rainbow. Light exists as a particle and a wave. Different experiments will say, some will say it's a wave and some will say it's a particle. It's the fastest thing we know of. The speed of light is the speed limit of the universe. Nothing goes faster. Into the darkness, God speaks and creates light. There is day and there is night. The day is good. It's all good, in fact, the day and the night. And we recognize this. We have daylight, we have nighttime. There is light in both of them. There's the sun and the moon. And all of this is how God made it to be, the way things are. God makes the light and separates it from the darkness. There's a time of much light and a time of less light, but there's always light. Every life form, plants, animals, they all depend on the light from the sun. This light forms the basis of all life. There is no life without light coming. Without life, we're back to darkness, without light. Now, when we lose light, like David in the cave, we tend to get lost, we become disoriented, we can even enter despair. There's even an identified condition, it's called seasonal affective disorder. It identifies that when you have low levels of light, people tend to get depressed, a seasonal depression. And they say, a lot of people in the UK come to Australia for that reason. There's more light. They want sunlight, so they come here, and the UK is less light. It's a recognised reality. We depend on light. We need light to live. But you know, light comes in different forms. Let's go to the next one. This is a surprising thing about light. Imagine you're in the desert camping. A bit worried about scorpions. And now on the left, this is what this desert scorpion looks like in normal light. A bit hard to see, blends in. You might be worried you won't see it. You'll get stung. On the right, the same scorpion under ultraviolet light. Strange thing about scorpions and some creatures, they fluoresce. They shine under ultraviolet light. Now, they call it black light. So you turn on this other type of light and all of a sudden things you couldn't see become visible. You can avoid the scorpion easily. You can find something if it's fluorescing under this black light. Now, you can actually get a torch which has a switch which turns it from normal light to black light. You can have a torch that does this. All of a sudden, the creepy crawlies are no longer a problem. They just shine. They glow before you. You can see them. The ordinary light shows us so much, but the ultraviolet light shows us more. It shows us a different perspective. You know, that running through the Bible right from the start, there's this, as a theme like this, not only is there natural light, there is another type of light that the Bible talks about. There's a spiritual light as well. This is Isaiah chapter 60. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. So God creates the light at the beginning, the day and the night, the sun and the moon, to give light to people on earth. We depend on that light. But hundreds of years before Jesus comes, Isaiah the prophet talks about a time the sun is not going to be the light by day, nor is the moon going to be the light at night. There's a different type of light. He talks about an everlasting light that's going to come into the world. Your God will be your glory. Unlike the sun and the moon, they have cycles, they come and go. We experience those things, but this sun will never set, this moon will never wane. And a second time he says, the Lord will be your everlasting light. This is quite profound. It's a new type of light that's being spoken of. A bit like the ultraviolet light. There's this new light. When you turn on the ultraviolet light, you see things you didn't see before. All of a sudden things become clear. You're not limited by the previous vision that you had. Your days of sorrow will come to an end. There's going to be something new introduced that's going to end the sorrow. So although the Bible talks about God as the creator of the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all those lights, one day another type of light is going to come into the world. God's light. Now, the sun and the moon are necessary. They're all part of God's creation. They're all good. But they're only a preparation for another type of light that was going to come. They are signposts and pointers towards a new type of light. This light was going to come from God. Okay, let's skip forward to the time of Jesus. I'll read you another scripture. This is John chapter 1. We've had a little bit of this read today. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. And listen to this verse. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. This is not the sun or moon. They're already here. Those lights are already established at creation. It's not talking about daytime or nighttime light. It's not ordinary light. This is the everlasting light that Isaiah spoke about. John talks about it as the true light is coming into the world. Jesus is this everlasting light. He is the true light. The light that gives light to everyone. We read the carols. Some of the carols we sing at Christmas time pick this up. This is O Little Town of Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent star goes by. Stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. This is the light that John the Baptist talked about. This is the everlasting light, the true light. This is the light that Isaiah talked about. The everlasting God would be your everlasting light. At Christmas, something new comes into the world. It's a light that wasn't here before. Not just the same light, but a different type of light. The everlasting life, a light is introduced into the world at Christmas time. Isaiah said, "The Lord will be your everlasting light. Your God will be your glory." With the birth of Jesus, the everlasting light comes into the world and gives light to everyone. A new light has dawned, a new time has come. Now, this is 1 John. John the Apostle reflects back. So later on in his life, maybe 60 years later, after he'd been a follower of Jesus, he followed Jesus for 3 years, and then he spent as an apostle of Jesus, doing the work of Jesus for another maybe 60 years. He summarizes the message that Jesus brought. He's going to put it all in a nutshell. And he says this: "This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." So according to John, you can summarize the message of Jesus. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He's the one who brought God's light into the world. A new type of light. There was something different, something distinctive about Jesus that was just unknown before this. People had never seen this before. There, of course, were ideas about what God was like. People had ideas about God. Now, this is written in Greek. So if you were in the Greek world, you would think about the gods on Mount Olympus. So Mount Olympus is a massive mountain in the north of Greece. And you would think the gods live up there. That's what they thought. No one could ever climb it. You know, Mount Olympus, the highest part, was only climbed in 1923. It took, even though the Greeks had been there for thousands of years, it was only first climbed in 1923. It's such a difficult mountain to climb. So you have covered by clouds. This is where the gods lived. But those gods were not very nice. These are not, if you said this, you wouldn't say that these are gods of light with no darkness. They are vengeful, hateful, prideful, lustful. The Greek gods are pretty much people who live forever and do nasty things with their power. That's who they are. That's the Greek gods. More powerful than us and immortal and maybe even a little bit more nasty. There were plenty of darkness in the gods, in the Greek gods. There's other gods. Plenty of nations had their gods. But when we're not talking about a god of light with no darkness. These gods kind of had questionable character most of the time. They did questionable things. In the Jewish world, there was that sense of there being a God of light, but the God was distant. God seemed far away from them. They had a tabernacle, a temple. They would come to this place and worship, but there were always curtains and things that would stop you from actually accessing the presence of God. God was holy, he was light, but he was distant. You couldn't access him. God communicated through the prophets and the law over the years, but that didn't really capture the full essence of who God was. That was just one aspect. They pointed to a God of light, but the image was always obscure. You could never really get to know this God until Jesus came. He brought something different. God is light. In him, there is no darkness. There is no malice. There is no vindictiveness. There is no meanness in God. Jesus did not present just a nice talk about God. He didn't just say things about God. He lived it out as a human being. John says, before these words, we've seen him. We've touched him. We know him from firsthand experience. It wasn't just an idea. It was a life lived in our midst. We've experienced the character of God, and we've experienced in the person of Jesus. He truly represents a God of light and no darkness, even as a human being. So we've seen the perfect embodiment of a God who is light and not darkness. We've seen in a human life, not just a concept or a list of rules, we've seen him made flesh in our midst. A living, breathing person, connected with others, had relationships, had to deal with the difficulties of this world just like we do. He faced temptation. He dealt with difficult people and situations compassionately, even to the extent of being willing to take on the sufferings of others to set them free. That's what he was like. That's what the God of light is like. Voluntarily did this out of love. God is light. There is no darkness in God. But you know, there might be situations in our lives that suggest that God is dark. There are difficulties we face. We might have disabilities. We might have emotional struggles. We might have employment or financial issues. We can have all sorts of problems. And because of these, it's easy to think, because I'm having struggles, that means that God is not light. God is mean to me. God is dark. We can think that because of our situation. God doesn't care. But Jesus brings the message. God is light. There is no darkness in God. We might not understand why things are like they are in our lives, that we have struggles, but we can know that God is good and that God is light. And ultimately, it will become clear. God will work all circumstances for good eventually. Even if now it seems as though that can't be the case. You know, when Israel enters the promised land, they did not succeed in driving out the enemy nations. There were other nations still left there. And there's a comment in the book of Judges. It says this: God left some of the enemy nations in Canaan only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had no previous battle experience. So he left problems so that they would actually learn to overcome those problems. There's something about this life, all the problems are not gone. And those problems create in us the capacity to grow, to deal with those problems. That's a profound insight. We learn to do battle against darkness, against evil. We learn to embrace the good voluntarily. Because if all the suffering was gone, we wouldn't have to grow at all. It's worth reflecting. The struggles in this life teach us things. They grow us. They bring it out of us capacity. It's possible to gain insight why some of the difficulties remain in the world. Why is there still darkness when the light has already come? There's this tension. The everlasting light has come, and yet we still experience darkness in the world. Because the ultimate triumph has not yet happened. The ultimate victory of good over evil, of light over darkness, has not happened yet. In Jesus, we see that what the light is, who the light is, And when we see his ministry, we see people are set free, people are healed, lives are changed, they're transformed. Miracles happen. This is the future. Ultimately, that will happen in all creation. It happened in the ministry of Jesus. We might see bits and pieces of it, but we're not there yet. It will happen. All of these things are evidence that God is light and that Jesus brought that light. The promise of the Bible is not that it's finished, but that one day Jesus will return. And then he will make all these things right. One day, what we see in the ministry of Jesus, what we see in the pages of the Gospels, that will move into all creation. Everything will be restored, just like the lives of the people we read about. Sight is restored. Bodies are restored. The dead are raised. That will one day be the norm. We had a glimpse of it in the ministry of Jesus. We may have glimpses of it as we have answered prayer in our life. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. This is the everlasting light that the prophet spoke of. This is the true light that John spoke of was coming into the world. So this is Christmas. Let's have a look at the Christmas story. We see this gathered around the stable. This is the story of how light came into the world. Each year we recount the stories we hear again and again. The everlasting light has come. God, who is light, has been revealed through this child, through the life of this child. He left behind the comfort and the glory of heaven, became vulnerable, not just any baby, a Jewish baby in a time when the Romans were in charge and oppressed people, and the high and low of society come to bow down to him. Kings from foreign lands, shepherds leave their fields, angels are singing, a star leads the way. Now, despite all these signs that he's the king, that something amazing is happening, the powers that be, Herod the king says, I don't like the fact that there could be another king. I'm gonna take the lives of any child who threatens me. And that's been happening all through history. So the family have to flee to Egypt. They become refugees in a foreign land. All through these experiences, Jesus is showing the message, God is light. Continues through his healing ministry, his restoring ministry, his teaching ministry, and ends with his death on the cross, the final statement of love for humanity. The light that shines so brightly, it will even take upon himself our sin and our shame, voluntarily out of love. He will face death and overcome it. Even death itself cannot snuff out this everlasting light. When he rises from the dead, the victory is sealed. Light has conquered darkness. Death has been defeated. The light has come and has shone in the darkness. But we still see darkness in our world. Christmas tells us that God is on the way to making all things new. We are being made new. We can be made new and will be. But we're in a time when we're experiencing darkness in the world that we live in. One day, the darkness will perish completely. Now, remember the scorpion. Let's go to a Christmas under the light, under ultraviolet Christmas. You get to see under the ultraviolet light what you didn't see before. Right at the center of Christmas, all the other things fade away. Right at the center is the coming of this child, the incarnation. God has become a human being. We see that God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. All the stories of Christmas are pointing to this child. He is the true light. He is the bread of life. He is the water of life. It's all pointing to him. The everlasting light, the true light has come. God has been fully revealed in a human life. Light has shone into the darkness. And the darkness has not been able to overcome it. I wonder, Christmas, I go to the shops and I think, wow, Christmas has become something quite different than this. It can lose its spiritual meaning. It can sort of, just be a tinsely financial thing. But I think what we're meant to do in church as Christians is to go back to this reality, go back to the core of Christmas. Jesus really is the reason for the season. He shows us that God is light, there is no darkness in him, and he's the one that's brought the light of God to us. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you give us the eyes to see in this new light, not just the standard light, but the everlasting light that now has come into the world through Jesus. Thank you that all the stories point towards this, that God would become human, dwell among us, be one of us, take upon himself our suffering, be tempted, experience all that we experience. He would understand our lives. And I thank you now we have an advocate. We have someone who understands us at the right hand of God, that we can pray and know that, Lord, you understand where we're at. So I pray in our circumstance, our situations, Lord, the difficulties we face in this life, the relationships that we find perplexing, our physical struggles, Lord, you understand. We can cast our cares upon you. Lord, let this light shine in us. Let it shine through us. Let it shine into this world. We know there is still darkness, but I pray that we would shine your light. May that light shine through us this Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray.